ShadowcastAudio.com presents The Masters of Horror, the anthology. Welcome to a world hidden behind the blinds of reality, a landscape waiting to be molded into a thing of pain and torture. This anthology is not for the faint-hearted. The ideas, themes, and disturbing images portrayed within will send your brain into overdrive on the road to madness. This book is guaranteed to rob you of sleep at night and bring you the nightmares you've most feared. You've been warned. In short, Lee Pletzers is a writer who is very active in the genre world, online and off. Over 40 short stories have found publication in anthologies and magazines, zines, and online. In September 2009, his first novel was released by BBS Books. Lee is an avid reader and writes reviews for HarperCollins and Hatchet via SF Fans, Science Fiction and Fantasy Association of New Zealand. He is also a member of AHWA and SpecFic New Zealand. You can find him online at thestoryteller.co.nz. Teeth by Lee Pletzers. Dark clouds blanketed the sky, dulling the afternoon light. My feet dangled off the edge of the dock. The day hadn't turned out sunny like I'd hoped, but it was warm despite the clouds. Summer was in full swing, and it brought humidity by the bucketful. My shirt hung open, while my son's Simpson shirt lay discarded on the dock next to the fishing tackle. Joe was only 6, and the rod in his hands looked enormous. His gaze was fixed on the softly lapping water. Poking out of his pants pocket was a plastic bag for our catch. It was still empty. The end of my pole bobbed. I checked on the floater. It dipped under the water and quickly sprang up and rested on the soft currents of the ocean. Damn! I bet the bait's gone. Dad! Little Joe was battling a bent rod. I got a monster! It's a big one, I said. The rod was seriously bent and jerked left and right. You need a hand? Joe's face was a tight grimace of concentration. Beads of sweat spotted his forehead. Nah, he said. I got this, mother. I blinked, unable to believe what came from his mouth. Excuse me? My tone was a mixture of surprise and shock, and it carried a warning. Sorry, Dad. I was fine with that. The rod went still, but it remained bent like a crippled man. The fish was motionless. Not even the line moved, held taut in a straight line. The seagulls were silent. They hawked all day until now. Scanning the sky and the rocks on the other side of the bay near the point, I couldn't see a single feathered fiend or friend. The clouds, too, were without motion. Everything was still, even the air. Something was wrong. I felt it deep inside, churning my gut and twisting my nerves into knots. Dad, help me! My attention snapped back to little Joe. He was battling against the reel now. He couldn't turn it. At least the fish had given up. I removed my fishing knife and grabbed a hold of the line. Dad, don't cut it! My son looked stricken. It has to be the biggest one yet. Please? I hated that begging tone in his voice, but it overpowered me easily and I released the line. Taking the rod from him, I tried to reel. It was jammed. I turned the line feed knob, but the fish did not take off like fish usually do. I don't think you got a fish anymore, buddy. Little Joe's face went slack and his eyes hooded. Unless it's tangled in some weeds. My boy's face brightened at the possibility. I handed the rod to him and reached for the line again. Gonna have to do this like we did back in the olden days. I grabbed the line and pulled up. The fucker was heavy. Back in my day, we used a piece of wood with a line wrapped around it. Weren't you scared? Joe asked. I yanked up another length of line and shot him a quizzical look. Of the dinosaurs? Oh, you little ratbag! I reached for him, but little Joe was fast and dodged me with ease. He stopped just out of reach, laughing so hard he almost doubled over. The fish tugged, and the line sliced my hand, instantly drawing a thin sliver of blood. With my concentration lost, the sudden movement took me off balance. My arms flailed, and the look on little Joe's face told an entire story. The look in his eyes forced me to drop onto the hard, seasoned wood of the dock, smacking my knees, sending a jolt into the pit of my stomach. The fishing rod bounced beside me, I snatched it up. Joe stared wide-eyed at something out at sea. Looking over my shoulder, I couldn't see anything. About to get up, the uneasiness returned as the line moved. Joe saw it, too. He grabbed the rod from me and started on the reel, doing his best to undo the jam. My hand throbbed hot. The cut was deeper than I thought. Drops of blood hit the water. Joe stared at the line as it swayed gently side to side. To please my boy, all I could do was grit my teeth and get that damn fish up and out of the water. This was his day. I pulled on the slick line as fast as I could, wincing when the seawater hit the open wound. Something far out in the distance made a large splash. I looked up, but the sea was still again. "What is it, Dad?" The fish came into view. It wasn't large, just an average 10 inches or so, and it defined the word ugly. Never in my life have I seen anything like this before, and I know fish. There's a poster of them at the fish and chip shop. None of them look like this thing. Its mouth was large and gaping, sharp teeth, double row. Bulging eyes with slit pupils stretched across the entire eyeball. The body was as black as oil, and it looked just as smooth. It seemed to be looking at me, and understood what was coming. It leapt out of the water, a single line of spikes on its back slid upright. The image of a porcupine came to mind, only this line of spikes looked thicker and sharper. I automatically dodged out of the way and toppled over onto my back. The fish hit the wooden dock and flopped once.
"Awesome! What kind is it?"
Joe moved fast, like all kids. No warning at all. He grabbed the fish.
"Joe, don't!"
He picked it up and yanked out the hook. Something splashed in the ocean again, but my attention was on my son. It should have been on the fish. It wriggled in his hands, but not enough to wriggle out. Joe pulled out the plastic bag. It chose that moment to slip forward, as if it were planned. Its mouth opened and two rows of teeth extended past the mouth and clamped onto Joe's left hand. Its teeth dug into the fleshy part below the thumb. I was on my feet and grabbed hold of the fish before my son's scream hit the air. The fish locked on and sucked at the wound. Its body flapped madly. Using my knife, I sliced the fucker's head from its body. Joe was screaming and crying and trying to shake the fish head off his hand, making it hard for me to use the knife. I was forced to lock his elbow against my body.
"Hold still!"
He didn't. Panic had a good grip on him. Carefully as I could, I slid the knife between his skin and the exposed teeth. I winced as the blade pried past the teeth, snapping most of them. Joe was suddenly quiet. He watched my action with intense curiosity. It kind of freaked me out a little, so I turned from him and put my attention back on the task at hand. Something splashed in the water again. I looked up in time to see a tail into the water. A big tail, and it was closer to the dock than I thought.
"Ow!"
Joe jerked his hand as the final part of the fish fell from his flesh. A few small teeth were left, but they brushed off. That splash sounded closer. The ocean was still. Didn't splashes send out ripples? Staring out, I waited.
"Dad, I'm bleeding!"
100 feet or so, I saw it. Rising from the deep, the whale rose out of the water. It turned in the air as it showed its full length, looking directly at us, and crashed down. It rose again, but this time it was quicker, and it didn't rise as high. I had the crazy thought it was taking direction notes and headed our way.
"Dad, it hurts!"
I barely heard my son. My nerves were jumping. I tried to dismiss the thought as crazy, and my overactive imagination was having a fucking blast today. But the urge to flee was too strong to ignore. Never before had I felt like this. Confusion ran rife inside my head. The whale remained submerged and hidden, and the water was still.
"Dad, what's wrong?"
I turned to Joe and grabbed him, hoisted him up in one arm and carried him like a football. I ran with everything I had. Thoughts barely entered my head. Single-minded focus was in control, and my focus was the end of the dock and safety of land. No boats were moored on the dock. Everyone else was out, as if they knew shit was going down today. The land came up quickly, but we were still several feet away. The dock jerked, knocking me sideways. My feet tangled and I hit the deck on my right side, cushioning Joe. He scrambled out of my embrace.
"Run!"
He listened. Getting to my feet, pain danced a jig against my ribs. The whale crashed into the dock again. The force of the crash took me off my feet and threw me against the railing. I looked up to check on Joe. He had already reached the car. I could hear him calling my name and pointing. The dull light on this cloudy day vanished. Slowly I turned. My eyes had to be shitting me. The whale sailed directly overhead. Its huge body fell fast. Something clicked in me as the gray shape tumbled down.
It forced me up to my feet and kicked my legs into action. My sneakers lost grip a few times, but I didn't go down. Near the end of the dock, the wood split with a resounding crack. It snapped free at the end of the base. It snapped free at the end of its base. Water rained down on me. The dock tilted. Dad, jump! I jumped. I jumped like never before. It was a survival jump. My feet hit the edge, half on the dock and half on the sandy mound covering the bolts and metal base. A blast of pain screamed at my ankle. Regaining balance, I leapt the last few feet to the safety of land and the concrete of the parking lot. On my back, I stared up at the dark sky, rapidly gulping down deep breaths. My chest heaved up and down, and each breath stung my ribs, which was good. They weren't broken. At least that was in my favor. Joe was at my side in an instant. Dad! Dad! I struggled into a sitting position, feeling new aches and pains stab their claws into me. Out at sea, the dock was in ruins. The middle was shattered all the way to the shore. The left side was a jagged line of splintered timber. Dad! That was so cool! Uh-huh. You know me, Mr. Cool. It was agony getting to my feet, but it was easy to hide the pain from my boy. Better let the cops know what happened here. I tapped my pockets and realized the cell phone and car keys were in the canvas fishing bag, which was now probably on the bottom of the ocean. Shit. Wasn't there a general store down the road? They would have a phone. I turned to Joe to tell him of our plans and saw my son cradling his arm. I am such a schmuck. I had totally forgotten the bite. The blood seeped through his fingers and dripped off his wrist. Let me see. Joe shook his head, but I gently pried his fingers open. The bite was a deep hole constantly filling with blood about the size of a dime. Without car keys, I prayed one of the doors was unlocked. The prayer was not answered. I was too security conscious, ensuring all the doors were locked. From the back seat, the first aid box sat placidly taunting me. I hit the glass, but it didn't break. Reality was never as easy as in the movies. The parking lot was free of rocks or anything I could use to break the window. Careful of my injuries, I removed my shirt and balled it up around my fist. I fully intended to punch the glass before reason took hold. The shop wasn't far, 10 minutes or so down the road. I opened the shirt and tore off a sleeve and split that down the middle. Joe, come here! His hand was squeezing at the wound again, and I noticed glassiness in his eyes. They were glazing over. Fuck! A plaster wasn't going to fix this. He needed a doctor. Heart pounding heavily, I wrapped the sleeve around his hand and secured it tight. Joe winced. He was still reacting. That was good. But he looked so small and so frail. It was weird. This morning when I saw him, I thought he had grown so big in the past month. Now I saw he was just a child. I scooped him up. He protested, and I carried him out of the parking lot. The main road was dead. Not a single car in sight. The rain that threatened all day arrived, slow and gentle, at first creating a soft haze. I had only taken a few steps when the rain decided to fall heavier. Big, thick blobs pounded the road. Joe went limp in my arms. Buddy, wake up! I tried to nudge him, but his head lolled over my right arm. It was the same as carrying a sack of flour, only heavier. I near prayed for a car, begged for a good Samaritan. Joe! Joe! I shook him. His eyes fluttered, but did not fully open. He mumbled something, but I didn't hear his words over the pounding of my heart. Hospital. I had to get to that fucking phone. Briefly, I considered going back to the car, smashing the window and laying him down inside while I ran to the phone. I looked both ways and realized I'd walked a fair distance away from the car. Around the corner, I would see a store. It was a large place, the only shop around for miles, and it had almost everything geared toward weekend warriors, the outdoors type, the father and son trips. My focus was at the corner. It seemed a million miles away. I wanted to run, but couldn't, afraid the jolting would injure Joe more. Walking was too slow, and there were no cars on the road. I jogged, barely faster than walking. Up ahead, a car. Thank God. The lights were on, cutting through the rain. Joe, hold on. There's a car coming, buddy. Everything's going to be all right. No reaction from Joe this time. His mouth was partially open. Drops of rain hit his lips and rolled in. The car was almost upon us. I moved to the edge of the road. I wanted to wave my arms, but with Joe it was impossible. I ended up walking part way onto the road so that they could see my boy. Curiosity alone would have them stop. The car slowed. Almost alongside me, I could see the couple in their 50s staring at me. Samaritans at last. Don't stop! The old lady yelled, "Don't stop!" She started shoving her husband's arm, urging him to step on the gas. I couldn't believe my ears. "No, please! You have to help! My son was..." The car sped off. The heavens opened. A flood of rain poured down, instantly soaking me and Joe. The rain felt good as it sluiced across my bruises, but Joe started shivering. His small body quivered in my arms. I couldn't bear to see him like this. The rain fell hard, making it difficult to see. Rounding the corner, I could just make out the store in the rain. It had a neon sign reading, "Cold drinks, hot food." I stumbled forward. The store was my oasis in the desert, and I rushed for it. My feet splashed puddles. Rain thundered down. Lightning brightened the sky. I rearranged Joe so he sat comfortably across my shoulder, and I ran. The store was so close. I feared it would disappear like an illusion if I didn't get there as quickly as possible. The parking lot reared up on my right. My attention switched to my footwork, and I took the 2 steps in 1 bound and crashed through the manual door. A small bell tinged to announce my arrival. Several people stared at me as I dropped to my knees and laid Joe on the floor. The place was dead silent. I swear I heard a pin drop somewhere. There was a group of people staring at me and Joe. In the silence, I heard the familiar beeps of a cell phone dialing an emergency number. "Thank you," I whispered. My vision doubled, then blurred. I welcomed the darkness. I awoke with a start. My arms and legs were tied down. I tried to kick out, panic seizing me. An old, friendly-looking face came into view. "Hey, you're awake," he said in a voice matching his appearance. I was still fighting my binds. "Let me help you there." Until he reached for it, I didn't realize it was a blanket. I was wrapped up snug and tied on a sofa in the back room. "Where am I?" "You're at Chucky's." He extended his hand. "Chuck Daniels, at your service." He pulled off the blanket. "That shirt you're wearing is free of charge." I was wearing a t-shirt. The picture was of a guy standing and fishing on the dock. A couple of boats were moored as well. How ironic. My jeans hadn't gone anywhere, thankfully. The lower half of the blanket was soaked, matching the blue fabric that was damp and clung to my legs. "Where's my son?" "He's fine," Chuck smiled. "Fine storyteller you have there. He has a wild imagination. He was telling us a tall tale about a whale wanting to eat him." His eyebrows rose. "Apparently, some ancient creature from the deepest regions of the oceans broke free of its domain, and hunger-stricken, it searched for meat." Chuck laughed. I felt a cold chill run down my back. "He then says a whale is the watcher of some kind of gate. A chase ensued, but the fish was cunning, and it was hungry, and it escaped only to get caught on a little boy's fishing line." Chuck shook his head. "Looks like you got a little Stephen King there." More like H.P. Lovecraft. The thought was fleeting but appropriate. I couldn't think of a reply. Chuck sure liked to talk. Chuck's voice took on a serious tone. "Ambulance is on its way, and they're sending a helicopter just in case. It's faster. Your boy's hand looks infected. Speed may be of the essence. Nearest hospital is an hour from here. The sheriff will be here soon to check up on things." "Where's my son?" I repeated. He pointed. "He's out the back." I got off the sofa and was assaulted by 1,000 pains. I groaned and sat back down, noticing my hand was wrapped in a bandage. "Your ribs took a beating. What happened? Was it a car accident?" "Joe didn't say." Chuck smiled. "He's having too much fun with his stories and the extra attention." He moved towards the door. "I'll fetch him, shall I?" He paused, hand outstretched for the knob. Not looking at me, he said, "Everything's all right, isn't it?" I knew what he meant. "He's my boy. Joe and I were fishing. He got bit by a weird-looking fish." The rest sounded crazy, so I left it there. Chuck chuckled. "That's where he got the idea." He nodded his head in understanding and opened the door. This room was obviously the office. There was a large desk next to a large bay window. An old computer sat on the desk. The CRT monitor was yellowish with age. The desk was old and varnished in a mix of red and brown. There were a pile of papers sitting in an unmarked tray. A couple of cushioned chairs sat in front of the desk. A large stuffed fish hung on the wall next to a few scenic paintings. Where was Joe? A good 5 minutes had gone by. Gritting my teeth against the pain, I rose from the sofa, tossing the blanket aside. Upright at last, the pain subsided. It still hurt, but it was more of an annoyance than anything else. I hobbled over to the desk. The image from the bay window sucker-punched me. Forgetting my aches, I rounded the desk for a clearer view and rested my hands on each side of the frame. Astounded by the improbability of it all, my head lowered to lightly touch the cool glass. This couldn't be happening. In the thundering rain outside, the window looked out onto the sea. The destroyed dock was blocked by the trees and shrubbery from this angle, but I could see there was a whale staring at me, watching, waiting, concerned. If Joe's story was true, then the whale knew we were here. Someone screamed. I looked to the door, forgetting the whale instantly. Silence loomed thick and heavy. It tainted the air. Joe? I rushed to the office door, flung it open, and stepped into the hallway. At the end, there were two large flaps of plastic. On the wall was an open button. I could see blurry figures on the other side of the plastic. Joe? I slammed the open button, and the plastic door swung inward. Oh, my God. Blood was everywhere. Joe was kneeling next to Chucky. His left hand was on the man's chest. Other shoppers were covered in blood. Their eyes were glazed over, and they all had their hands on the fallen. At the front of the shop, the bell announced a new arrival. Joe! My son turned. He was bright-eyed, like his old self. His left hand was splayed open, the fingers spread wide. Spikes popped out of his fingers, covering the back of his hand like a porcupine. He turned his hand around. Two rows of teeth jutted forth from a gaping hole in his palm. It resembled a mouth. "It's hungry, Dad. It says we're tasty." I backstepped until the plastic doors automatically shut, stopped my retreat. "What are you?" Joe shrugged. Behind my boy, I saw other customers. Their hands tore flesh. I saw a couple of chests cave in. My stomach churned. I felt vomit in my throat. I had to be dreaming. This couldn't be real. All I wanted to do was take my son fishing. A woman cried out. She pulled her hand off her victim and fell on her back. She held her large, swollen stomach. "My babies!" she whispered and started tearing at her clothes. Her house dress tore easily. She placed it under her rump and ripped her panties free. Water spewed out, mixed with blood. She breathed hard and fast. Biting back my fear, I grabbed my son by the shoulders and roughly turned him from the woman to face me. He smiled. "It's okay, Dad. They won't hurt you." His left hand stroked my cheek. The creature did not bite. The woman moaned. "Let's get out of here," I said and pulled him to the plastic doors. "No!" He broke free of my hold. "Watch," he said. The woman opened her legs wide. Something gray and oblong pushed out, splitting the woman wide and bringing forth a volley of screams and a torrent of bile and blood. It had two arms and two legs. The front part had hair matted down in blood and juice, and it had a mouth that resembled my son's hand. Two eyes graced what could be a head, but it was just one long blob that moved. Two gunshots rang out. The blob exploded. An almighty cry filled with pain and anger twisted my son's face. He moved toward the terrified sheriff. The cop's gun wavered. "Stay back!" he warned. Overhead, the chopping blades of a helicopter cut the air. I called to Joe, but he didn't respond. The cop moved back a step. Joe's hair fell from his head. His skin turned pale. Tight skin wrinkled. A water map covered the cop's trousers. I heard a rustling and turned to see the infected shoppers move in my direction. The pregnant lady on the floor bore another child, the same as the other, though she did this one silently. The hair fell from all the shoppers, skin paled, noses collapsed, and jaws with two rows of teeth pushed past blood-caked lips, eyes filled with blood, leaving only the black pupil exposed. A shot rang out. It punched my boy, knocked him off his feet. "No! Bastard!" All the infected stopped. I ran to my son, sliding on my knees. His complexion was near normal, his eyes the lovely brown of this morning. He was my son again, bar his hair. I pulled my boy into a hug, feeling the warmth of his blood soak my shirt. In my ear, he whispered, "It's still alive. In my hand." He smiled. Planting a kiss on his cheek, I noticed something different about his eyes. They were dull in every way, lifeless. My boy was gone, but his left hand still twitched. I wiped tears from my eyes. The cop stood up, trying to look authoritative. He killed my boy. I charged, taking him by surprise. I tucked my shoulders in and struck him midsection and bowling him over. I wanted to pound my fists into him and fucking through him. I wanted this cunt skewered on my arm and his intestines squashed in my fingers. He killed my Joe, a child, and for that he had to pay. My tackle had knocked the Glock from his hand and it lay silently a foot to my left. The cop rushed forward. I dived for it. My hand cut through the air and snatched the weapon off the floor. The cop skidded to a stop. His hands went up and he tried to back away. Getting to my feet, I leveled the Glock at him. "Hey, hey! I didn't shoot no kid, man!" He took a step back. A shake affected his voice. That weren't any kid. It was something else. I don't think I listened. He started babbling about demons and aliens and more. The shopper stood zombie still as if waiting commands from the hand. I turned from the cop and faced my son. From behind, I heard the cop run from the store. He was shouting as the front door opened. Something punched my leg, sending a shock of heat and pain into my thigh. I heard the tinkling glass, and a moment later, the whole store window crashed down. Another bullet hit my leg, and this one took me down, level with the hand. "Sorry, Joe." I squeezed the trigger, keeping my eyes open, as the bullet slammed into his hand, right into the mouth of that thing. All the shoppers fell to the floor. Smoke filled the room, rising from the burning hands of the now dead. Joe's hand fell limp. The controller was dead. The bullet had mutilated it into no more than a mess of flesh and shattered bone. No one would ever know what it was. The cops swooped in. They crashed onto my back and one dug his knee into my neck. A truncheon broke my hand, forcing me to release the gun. Behind my back, steel bracelets kept my hands together. They picked me up, but I couldn't stand, so they held me there, waiting for a gurney. I saw the dead as they wheeled me out of the store. The carnage, the blood, the raw need to feed. A TV crew was outside. I heard the word, massacre, followed by spree killing. Son, shot, all dead. The gurney clattered towards the waiting ambulance in the parking lot. The doors were open. As the paramedics positioned the gurney into place, I spotted the whale floating on the ocean and realized it was trying to help us. As if reading my thoughts, it lowered out of sight. Perhaps it was returning to the gate to make sure no more of those things got loose. Reporters buzzed around looking for further information as two cops clambered into the vehicle. They removed my handcuffs and bolted my arms to the gurney rails. Neither said a word as the ambulance pulled out of the parking lot. This has been a presentation of ShadowcastAudio.com and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Copy it, share it, pimp it all you want. Just don't try to sell it or change it. We keep this going through you, the listener. For the duration of the Masters of Horror podcast, all who make donations to ShadowcastAudio.com will receive an ebook copy of the Masters of Horror. Just specify which format you would like. In addition, you'll also be entered to win a print version signed by myself, which will be given away at the end of the last episode. The music for the podcast is an original piece done specifically for the Masters of Horror by Christopher Carlson. Find more great selections at ChristopherCarlson.com. Thanks for listening.